all of you that are joining us online, and we hope you'll join us in person. Next Sunday is a very special Sunday. It's 10/25, October 25th, and the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we're giving you, if you're joining us online, we're giving you a special invitation to join us in person next Sunday morning, October 25th at 10 a.m., and I hope that you'll consider doing that. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray over the Word of God as we get into it today. Father, thank you for your Word this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all the truth. And Lord, I pray that you would give us all ears to hear what you're saying. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would receive your Word just like those believers in Thessalonica did when Paul came and preached the gospel to them. And he told them, he said about them, when you receive the word of the Lord that I preached to you, you accepted it and you received it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you who believe. So, Father, may we receive your word today. And may we each allow that word to effectually and effectively work in us, in every area of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the, and by the way, the super kids can be dismissed. Go, super kids. I thought y'all were going anyway in spite of me. So we'll give you an official exit, though. Praise God. We love our super kids. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and his people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all.
Amen.
I want to talk to us this morning about how to recover all.
Amen.
How to recover all. So David and his men, this is the time when Israel was fighting with the Philistines and David was in exile. He had been anointed king by Samuel, and yet Saul was still king, and Saul was felt threatened by David and was trying to kill David. So David was in exile among the Philistines and was actually living in Ziklag, which was a Philistine city. And he and his men would go out. And they were really working as double agents. They were really they made the Philistine leaders think that they were for them, but they were actually going out and helping the army of Israel. So they were actually working for the Lord, fighting the Lord's battles. And they come home, they come back to their home base to Ziklag, and they find out that another army, the Amalekites, had invaded Ziklag, had burned the city, and had taken all their stuff and taken their families, their wives and their sons and their daughters captive. And so they come back and they're faced with all of this. They've had a great tragedy, a great disaster. And so all of David's men, they were in grief, they were in sorrow and distress, and David as well. And in their pain, They looked for somebody to blame. That's what we do a lot of times when we face a disaster, when we face a tragedy, when we face something that goes bad in our life. We want to look around and we want to say, who can I place blame on for this? And sometimes we blame other people. And sometimes we blame ourselves. Sometimes we even blame God, don't we? We want to place blame. And David's men looked around and they wanted to place blame on somebody. And naturally they wanted to place blame on their leader. If we hadn't followed David out here to do battle, if we'd have just stayed home, then none of this would have happened. We'd have been here when the Amalekites attacked and we could have defended our households. We could have defended our family. But no, we had to go follow David, our leader, into battle. And it's all David's fault. And the Bible says here that they talked about that so much that they even were going to stone David. They talked about stoning him. Well, so let's get into this. Let's talk about this. How are we going? What about in your life? Have you experienced any losses in your life that you want to see recovery? That you want to recover? Amen. Well, let's talk about how we can. The Bible says here that David was given a promise. God said, "You shall surely, without fail, you shall recover all." So can we recover all? Is it possible for us? Why did God put this story? Why was this recorded? Why is it put in the Bible? I believe it's in there to give us hope. I believe it's in there to give us encouragement. And I believe it's also in there to give us principles that if we'll follow the same principles that David followed, that we too can, without fail, recover all. Is that good news to anybody today? Amen. So, point number one, I got four points in this, four principles here. And point number one is this: recognize it's Satan, not God, who has stolen from you. Did David burn down the city? Come on. Did David burn down their city? No, David didn't burn it down. Did God burn it down? No. The Amalekites did. The enemy did. Right? Amen. So don't blame David. Don't blame God. Don't blame yourself. The blame goes on the enemy, on the Amalekites. Amen. Come on, think straight here. Amen. When you're facing a tragedy, when you're facing a loss, it's important to think clearly. Amen. And so point number one, recognize it's Satan, not God, that is stolen from you. Amen. Jesus made that clear in the New Testament, John 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, The thief does not come. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Satan, isn't he? The thief, Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all that the devil does. Now, he wraps it up. He sometimes makes it look nice, sometimes makes it look enticing. But the end result of it is going to be stealing, killing, and destroying. And a lot of times what he does is he comes through and he does his stealing, killing, and destroying. And then he tries to get you to turn your eyes away from him and say, it's that guy over there. It was her. It was him. In fact, it's God. Amen? No, Satan is the one who has stolen from you. Amen. Not God, not somebody else. Amen. The sooner that you and I stop blaming others or ourselves or God for the disaster or for the tragedy or for the loss that's happened in our life, and we fix the blame directly on Satan. Now, of course, you know, we can make some wrong decisions. Of course, we can foul things up ourselves, but ultimately it's the devil that was out to get you and trip you up. Amen. And if it was your own bad decisions and you repented, then God's washed that away, so He's not holding that against you. Amen. And so you can focus your attention on Satan. He's the one that's stolen from you. Amen. And the sooner that we focus and identify who our real enemy is, who is Satan, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Then the sooner we can begin to recover what Satan has stolen from us. Amen. So number one, recognize it's Satan, not God, who's stolen from you. And then number two is this, and this is so important. You must learn to strengthen and encourage yourself in the Lord. You must learn to strengthen and encourage yourself in the Lord. See, when bad things have happened to us, when a disaster has befallen us, what do we want to do? We want to just give up and quit. Has anybody ever wanted to give up and quit? Yeah. Amen. All right, we're going to pray for the other 99% of you in here that are lying. Gary and me are being honest today. And somebody else raised their hand. Pat raised her hand. So we're going to pray for all the other the rest of you that are liars in here. Amen. Yes, we've all wanted to give up and quit at some point, haven't we? Amen. Well, we want to wallow in self-pity, don't we? Woe is me. Poor old me. Nobody's had it as bad as me. Wallow in self-pity. Nobody likes me. Whatever it may be. But you have to learn to do what David did. We all have to do that. See, there was no one around David to pat him on the back. They didn't have Pastor Appreciation Month then, did they? For David. They were gonna stone him. No, they weren't saying, "Oh, David, you're such a good leader. We appreciate you. We're gonna take up an offering for you." No. They were gonna stone him. They were saying, "It's all your fault, David." What a crowd to have to pastor. The Bible talks about this bunch. There was 400 of them that joined themselves to David. In another passage, it says everybody that was in distress and in debt and discouraged. What a crowd to have to pastor. I've got it easy. Sometimes. Hallelujah. All of his friends, nobody was patting him on the back. All of his friends were blaming him. They wanted to stone him. So David had to make up his mind. I don't have anybody around here to tell me I'm a good guy. You know, I can make it. I'm a good leader. Nobody else is going to tell me this. I'm going to have to encourage myself. And the Bible says he did that. The King James Version says David encouraged himself. In who? In the Lord his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that's a real key right there. See, he knew the Lord not only as God or the God of Israel. Yeah, he was his God. Is he your God? Is he your God? I love it. I love it when I hear, dear precious, it's usually older sisters in the Lord say, "My Jesus." I love that. I love that. My Jesus. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. We should all be able to say, "He's my Jesus. He's my Jesus. I know Him. I've trusted Him. I've leaned on Him. He's brought me through." Hallelujah. He's been there for me when nobody else was. He's my Jesus. He's my God. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, how do you do that? How did David do it? David had no human in that moment to encourage him, but he still had the Lord. There may be time, yet we're in church today and we're here to encourage one another, and we should. There may be times when you can't pick up the phone and call anybody. You know, it might be the middle of the night, and even though your friends have said, "I don't care what it is, what's going on, you call me," you think, "I don't want to bother them." And the oppression is coming against you, the discouragement is coming against you. You and I, we all have to learn. We all have times where we have to say, I need to strengthen myself in the Lord my God. Amen. Well, how did David do that? Well, he wrote us, in one of his Psalms, he revealed to us exactly how he did it. He said it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down." Follow me, Grace. There we go. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." See, all of a sudden, as he begins to encourage himself in the Lord, all of a sudden the Lord shows up. Because he starts out this psalm saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down." But all of a sudden it shifts and it says, "You're with me. in the middle of David encouraging himself in the Lord, all of a sudden God showed up. Amen. Hallelujah. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't say that without getting encouraged. That's what I learned. That's why I learned from Mark Rutland. And we've got that book. I'm not advertising a book, but we've got that book in the bookstore again, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. And it really has changed my world and changed my life, learning to pray the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm. You can't pray the 23rd Psalm without getting encouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. You may have to pray it 5, 10, a dozen, 50, 100 times. But if you'll stick with it, you can't pray that without getting encouraged, without encouraging yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 in the New Testament, Paul talks about, in the verse before that, he talked about not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. Amen. The New Testament life, the life of a New Testament believer, Christianity, was meant to be lived full of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants that. That was a turning point in my life when I found out about that. When I found out about being filled with the Spirit and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And learned that God wanted me to live a Spirit-filled life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Previous verse says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he says this, speaking to yourself. Do you do that?
Yes.
You need to. You need to learn to. We all need to learn to do this.
Yes.
Hallelujah. By the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's what He's in there for. That's what He's in here in us for. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Do you do that? Do you do that at home? Amen. You should. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What are you doing? You're encouraging yourself. You're strengthening yourself in the Lord your God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jude, verse 20, there's only one chapter in Jude. In Jude, verse 20, he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm happy to preach a message to you to help build you up, but you know, it ought not to be every week that you come in just flatter than a pancake. And I just have to let's get it. Maybe they'll make it till Wednesday.
Amen.
We ought to learn to build ourselves up.
Amen.
We ought to learn to build ourselves up. But you, beloved, how are we going to do that? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray. Do you do that? Do you do it? If you don't, you should.
Yes.
Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit we build ourselves up on our most holy faith.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
What am I talking? I'm talking about how to recover all. If we're going to recover all, we've got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. Because if the enemy's got your stuff, he's not going to want to let it go.
Right.
You're going to have to take it back by force. And you're going to have to be strong enough to do it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I said you're going to have to be strong enough to do it.
Amen.
And to do that, you're going to have to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Build yourself up. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourself. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. And now this one, 1 Corinthians 14:4. In the New Living. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened. That's why the devil fights speaking in tongues. I thought we'd won that battle, and I still see stuff popping up. Just ignorant people that just don't know the Bible and don't understand. And say, well, tongues is, those were languages. And this is just babble that people do today. So it's not of God. and it's not real. Oh, yes, it is real. I said, yes, it is real. Speaking in tongues is real. And don't let the devil steal that from you. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. Don't let the Well, he would want to. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be strong. He doesn't want you to be strengthened personally. So you can go back and get your stuff back from him. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. So do that. Amen. Every day. Every day we ought to be praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. There's several reasons we should. We can pray about unknown things, things we don't know to pray for our families, for our nation, for our leaders, for whoever. You know, when you don't know what to pray for, you can pray in the Spirit. That's one purpose. But another purpose is just to strengthen yourself spiritually, personally. Amen? Praise God. All right. So number one, recognize it's the devil. It's not God. It's Satan that's stolen from you, not God, not anybody else. Blame the devil. And then number two, learn to strengthen and encourage yourself and the Lord your God. And then number three, you must have a word from the Lord. You must have a word from the Lord. The Bible says that David called for Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod. And through that, he inquired of the Lord. Well, he had to do that under the old covenant. Again, in the New Testament, God has sent His Holy Spirit to live in us.
Amen.
And He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. God leads us. God guides us through the Holy Spirit within us. Amen?
Amen.
What a blessing and a privilege that is. Amen. But we have to hear from God. David had to do it that way. We can listen on the inside. Hallelujah. David got a word. So verse 8 of 1 Samuel 30. We'll look at verse 8 again. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do?" It's important to have God's direction. I said it's important to have God's direction in our lives. "Shall I overtake them?" And he answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." So we need to hear from God. We need to, but a lot of times we don't want to take time to do that is the problem. Amen. We want an instant answer. And sometimes God's not instant in His reply to us. And it's not because He's busy. It's not because He's saying, okay, I'll get to it. I've got so many other requests here that it's not like that. Amen?
No, amen.
It's not that He's withholding.
No.
Most of the time it's us not getting quiet enough to hear Him.
Right.
It's us allowing so much confusion and so many clamoring thoughts to pervade in our minds that we don't take time to listen to Him or we're not quiet enough to hear what He's saying on the inside. So, now, a lot of times what we do is we're faced with a tragedy and we go around and we say, "Well, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do?" And it's not wrong to get wise counsel and godly counsel, but ultimately, you and I, we have to hear from God.
Amen?
Amen. I said, we have to hear from God.
Amen?
Amen. "Well, Pastor, I prayed. You don't understand. I prayed and I listened, but it doesn't seem like God has said anything to me." Well, what about what He's already said to you?
Amen.
What about what He's already said to you? I found my experience has been when I've been faced with a crisis, God always gives me Scripture to stand on.
Amen.
He always gives me promises in His Word, and I find those usually in my daily Bible reading. As I'm reading through my... And sometimes I've had him remind me of a verse. I've had Him speak to me and say, "Don't forget about that," or "Remember this verse," or "Remember this passage." I've had Him do... I could tell you account after account where He's done that, and it's so precious. And those words have been so real for me to hold on to. And but other times it's just been as I've been reading in my daily Bible reading, all of a sudden a promise, a verse, a word will stand out. and I'll know. I can lay hold of that. I can grab hold of that. I can claim that. I can stand on that. I can begin to pray that over my life. I can begin to declare that over this situation that I'm facing. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so we've got wonderful promises in here of restoration, of redemption, of recovery. Amen. For our health, for our finances, for our families, whatever area of your life that you need it in. Claim them. Find ones that speak to you. Find ones as you read, and that's why it's important just to feed on His Word every day. Praise God. Because He'll give you what you need. Give me this day my daily bread. Right there. Amen. Spiritually as well. Find the ones that speak to your heart. Write them down. Type them. What I like to do, I've got pages of just scriptures. Probably got some in my Bible right here now. pages of scriptures that I just have typed out through the years that have spoken to me and printed them off. And I keep them in my briefcase. They're not in my Bible. I didn't want them spewing everywhere this morning if my Bible fell. But just the scriptures that God's given me that I read over. And that I pray over myself and over my situation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You need to do that. Pray them over your life. Speak them daily. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. That's your word from the Lord. That's your word from the Lord. The Lord told David, pursue, for you will surely without fail recover all. And that leads me to my last point this morning. And Reed, you can come on back up if you would. Number four. You must pursue in order to recover all. You must pursue. I was at a pastor's meeting a couple of weeks ago, and actually it's Pastor Buddy Barron that did our Christmas banquet last year. Usually does the teaching at this pastor's meeting I go to, and it's once a month, and I love it. I always get so much out of it. And Pastor Buddy was actually teaching from this passage, and he was talking about something else entirely, but when he read this verse right here, I got stuck on that statement that David made, or that was made to David. Excuse me. He says, "Pursue, for without fail you shall recover all." And the Lord really spoke that to me and made it clear. In order to recover all, you and I are going to have to pursue. You're not going to, listen, you're not going to recover all just by saying, okay, I'm just going to lay back, and if it's God's will for me to get it back, I'll get it back, and if not, I'll just do without. I'm just going to lay back here, and if somebody will do something for me, then I'll get it back. No, you're going to have to pursue. I said, you're going to have to pursue. If you're going to get back what Satan stole from you, you're going to have to pursue. It was effort. I said it was effort.
Yes.
There they were. They were discouraged. They were defeated. And God says, if you want this back, you can recover it all. You'll surely recover it all. But you're going to have to pursue in order to do it.
Yes.
You're going to have to pursue. Well, the same is true in your situation and my situation. If you're going to get back what Satan stole from you, you're going to have to pursue. So, Pastor, how do we do that? Am I going to go saddle up the horse and, you know, get the posse together and go out and find, you know, out in the bush and find Black Bart who's, you know, no. How do we do it today? How do we pursue? How do we pursue? Well, number one, with our faith. Number one, with our faith. Number two, with our expectation. They're all kind of meshed together, really. Our faith, with our expectation, with our prayers. See, we can't just be half-hearted and slipshod in our prayers. We have to be focused. We have to be focused with our faith. Most of the time, that's where we miss it. I think we never really focus our faith. We never really focus our prayers. Amen? We never really focus our expectation. So pursue with our faith, with our expectation, with our prayers, and finally, with the use of our spiritual authority. Pursue recovery in your life, number one, with your faith. In James chapter 1, verse 6, what is it that you need to recover? What is it that you need restored in your life? Think about that. And think about how you're going to pursue that with your faith. You're going to get a word from the Lord. You're going to find promises that cover that area of your life that's been affected, that disaster has struck. And you're going to do what James says here in James 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith. See, you've already got promises. You've already got a word that you can stand on. And that word has given you faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So that Word has given you faith, and so we ask in faith. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8 says, he is a double-minded man. I don't know if we got verse 8 up for you. I don't think I did. My bad. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we're going to recover all, we're going to have to do it in faith. We're going to have to ask in faith with no doubting. And we have to be single-minded. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man won't receive anything from the Lord. You're going to have to deal, you and I are going to have to deal with doubt that comes against us. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have to deal with doubt, and we're going to have to replace that doubt with faith. We're going to have to replace that doubt with what God has said. Amen?
Yes.
Let him ask in faith. With no doubting. That's how we're going to pursue and recover all is through operating in faith. And that means no doubting. Amen? So, Pastor, that sounds hard. Well, once you get the Word of God in, once you hold on to that promise of God, then the doubt will go. Amen? Is it a battle sometimes? Yeah, it is. But is it worth it? I mean, how bad do you want to recover all? How bad did David and his men, how bad did they want to get their families back? How bad did they want to get their wives and their sons and their daughters and their stuff back? Amen? Hallelujah. It's worth pursuing, wasn't it? It's worth walking in faith over. Amen? Mark 11, 24, Jesus said it this way, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you will have them. Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Hallelujah. Walk in faith. Pursue in faith. And then expect. See, this is where they're tied together. If you pray in faith, then you're expecting that it's done. Believe you receive them, and you will have them. Amen. Expect that things are turning around for your good.
Amen.
Expect that. Don't expect the worst. Expect that things are turning around for your good. Amen. Hallelujah. And then use your spiritual authority. Let's look it down at verse 17 of 1 Samuel 30. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. That sounds to me like about 24 hours straight. That sounds to me like he started at evening of one day and he fought all through the night. Come on.
Yeah.
And all through the morning till the sun came up. And all through that day, till evening of the next day. So about 24 hours there, he was in intense combat with the enemy. When was the last time that any of us set aside 24 hours to say, you know what? I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to use my spiritual authority, and I'm getting my stuff back. When was the last time? When was the last time that we set aside 24 hours and we pursued? Amen? I'm not talking about pulling a card out of the promise box and reading it for 15 seconds and saying, okay, praise God, that's it. I'm talking about pursuing. Amen? He attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all. Come on. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Hallelujah. They got it all back. It's a miracle that the Amalekites didn't kill any of them. They got all their family members back, every one of them. Every one of them. They got all their stuff back, every bit of it. And what if he hadn't pursued? He wouldn't have got it back, would he? Did he have to put forth some effort? He did, didn't he? He had to pursue, didn't he? Amen? He recovered all. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Again, who's our enemy? Who's the one that's stolen from us? It's Satan. Amen? And God's given us weapons. Mighty weapons. Hallelujah. To defeat him, glory to God. David had the weapons he needed to be able to defeat the enemy, but he had to use them. He couldn't just lay the weapons out and lay around at home and feeling sorry for himself and saying, okay, well, maybe these weapons will defeat the enemy. David had to pick them up and use them. We have to pick up and use our spiritual weapons. We have to stand in our spiritual authority and say, Satan, take your hands off. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my health. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought about Dad Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, in the message that he shared. It's in the little book that he wrote called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And he talks about how he had pastored for 12 years, and the last church he pastored, the church, they appreciated him like you all appreciate me, and they made sure he was blessed and everything taken care of for him and his family. And then God called him to go out into traveling ministry. And he went out into traveling ministry, and he no longer has the salary from his church, and he no longer has, you know, all of that. He had to pay his own expenses, and where he had a parsonage. The church provided a home for him. No longer had that. Had to rent his own home. Had to provide his own expenses and all of those things. And so he's in traveling ministry. And after the first year, he looked at everything, and he'd made several thousand dollars less, which was a lot in the 1940s, a lot back then. And he said, "Lord, I don't know what's wrong here. I don't know why I'm not prospering." You know, he went to the Lord with it, and the first thing the Lord says, "Well, the first thing is you don't qualify." And he gave him that scripture that you read this morning. He said, "My word says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land." And Brother Hagin said, well, Lord, you've hit me a low blow here. He said, I have been obedient. I didn't want to leave my church, but I did. You told me to, and I did. And I've been out on traveling ministry here. I did what you told me to do. He said, yeah, you were obedient, all right, but you weren't willing. You weren't willing. He said, don't tell me it takes a long time to get willing. He said, I got willing right away. He said, okay, I see it. He said, all right, Lord, I'm willing. I know it. You know it. The devil knows it. Now I'm willing. And the Lord said, yes, I see it. He said, now the next thing, he said, I need to correct your theology. You've been thinking wrong about this. You've been, you know, he said, he took him back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. He said, I made everything in the beginning for my man Adam. And I gave him dominion. But then Adam and Eve sinned and Satan became the god of this world. He said, that's where your problem is, son. He said, it's Satan who's withholding from you, not me. Satan is the god of this world, and he tries to control the money and the finances. He says, the money you need is down there on the earth. It's not up here in heaven. He said, if I were to send you money out of heaven, I'd be a counterfeiter. And I'm not a counterfeiter. The money you need's down there, and Satan's in control of it. So you need to do something about it. You need to command Satan to take his hands off your stuff. Command Satan to take his hands off your money. He said, in fact, do this. He said, claim whatever it is you need or want. Claim it. And then say, Satan, take your hands off of it. Take your hands off my money. And it applies in any situation. And then he told him this. He said, and then say, go ministering spirits. Go, angels of God, cause the money to come. He said, I never had heard anything like that before. The Lord took him to the book of Hebrews, where it says, the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. And he said, the problem is, he said, you've not been sending forth your angels. I've just been standing around saying, I wonder when that dummy's going to wake up and give us something to do. And so he said, in fear and trembling, he went out into the church where he was holding the meeting at, and he figured up his expenses, which were $150 a week to keep his family taken care of and keep him on the road. Back then in the 40s, $150 a week. He said, I didn't add anything extra, not a soft drink for myself or even a stick of gum. These are just my bare essentials to keep me going. And he said, in fear and trembling, he said, I claim $150 this week. And then he said, Satan, I command you to take your hands off of my $150. And then he said, I imagine that I could see that room, that church sanctuary, just filled with the angels of God. And he said, then I said, go, ministering spirits, go, angels of God, cause the money to come. And so he did that. He said, that was the end of it. The Lord said, once you've done it, that's the end of it. He said, I knew enough about faith to know that once I prayed about it, that was it. Didn't need to keep praying it over and over again. I've done it. Anytime you think of it, just say, thank God it's working. Thank God it's working. Hallelujah. Of course, he finished that week, and the pastor asked him to stay a few more days, and he ended up with I think it was $340.15 or something like that. And the pastor said, that beats anything I've ever seen. I don't know where that came from. I don't understand it. And Brother Hagin said, I understand it. I know. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. Amen. What did he do? What did he do? He pursued. The devil had been stealing from him all this time. He was out fighting the Lord's battles, and the devil had been stealing from him. But the Lord showed him, look, you're going to have to pursue. You're going to have to do something about this. You're going to have to use your authority. Amen? What is it that you want to get back? What is it that you want to reclaim? What is it that you want to recover? I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, if you'll pursue, if you'll do what God says to do in this passage that we shared today, you can, without fail, recover all. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. God will keep His Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray, first of all, a prayer for salvation. Don't turn that off just yet, David. I want to pray a prayer of salvation for those who may need it. Bow your heads and close your eyes right here. Hallelujah. And I'm talking to you that are watching us on YouTube as well. I want to ask you right now, have you asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? See, none of this is relevant at all until you do this first, until you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And so I want to ask you right now, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? If you were to die today, if Jesus were to come back, and He could. He could come back today. He didn't have to check our schedule. Amen. If Jesus were to come back, would you be ready? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Can you say, He's my Jesus? Can you do what David did? Strengthen yourself in the Lord, your God. Do you know Him personally? If you don't, then you can. It's not some mystical, weird, strange, long process. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is your Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called children of God. All we have to do is receive Him. Ask Him in. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to do that right now. Is there anybody here I'm going to ask in the congregation? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to do that. Would you raise your hand? I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. You can put your hand down. I want to lead us in a prayer right now. I'd like for everybody in the crowd to pray it, if you would, out loud. You won't mind praying it in support of these that are praying. And I trust that there are those online that are joining us to pray this prayer right now as well. Just pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God and my Savior. You died on the cross for my sin. And on the third day, You were raised from the dead. Jesus, I call upon You. I need You. Come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Make me clean on the inside. Thank You, Jesus, for washing away my sin. Thank You, Jesus, for making me new within. I am Your child. You're my Lord. God is my Father. I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Amen.